Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be talking about a subject that I think is extremely important. What is that subject? It is courage. That's right. We are living in times that are presenting challenges and change for us, and courage is so very important. And my guest today, Mary Beth Sammons, is with us. Her book is called The Courage Companion, How to Live Life with True Power. Mary Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Mary Beth, you and Nina Lesowitz wrote this book together. And you decided you were going to talk to people from all walks of life, from all kinds of working environments, and you wanted to find out their real stories, how they defined courage. How did you and, how did the two of you come together, first of all, and decide that you wanted to do this project? Because this is a very unusual thing to go and ask someone about. How do they define courage? What started the two of you on this journey?
Well, you'd have to go back about 5 or 6 years ago when I was working on the book, We Carry Each Other, which is about caretaking, going through illness with your family, yourself, and basically the very difficult subject of illness and all that goes with it, mm-hmm. which is maybe got me thinking about the subject of courage. And actually, Nina Lesowitz, who runs a PR firm, Spinergy, in Northern California, was recommended to me. And I'd worked with other publicists, and she was just the best. And we came to be friends, really good friends, and we felt like we wanted to work together on other things, and so we just decided to do it. And actually, our first book, Living Life as a Thank You, about daily gratitude, became a bestseller and has sold over 50,000 copies and is going strong. So, but it was really the topic of illness and facing death and going through that made me really see the everyday courage that everyday people exhibit.
That, I think, is so powerful, because I don't know about you, but you can be walking along and pass maybe 100 people in a day, depending on where you live. Maybe only pass 5 or 6 in a day. You don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know what's challenging them. And sometimes just taking the time to listen to what a person might be experiencing, you get a big aha and realize you really wouldn't want to walk in their shoes. But it is a willingness to listen, and that's what the two of you did. Now, I was very impressed with the fact that you just didn't do it with Americans. You did it with Chinese, you did it with women of Zimbabwe, an Iranian woman. You have people from around the world. And I just think that is so significant, because no matter where you are, no matter what your ethnic background is, no matter what your education is, no matter what you may have economically or not have economically, it does take guts to live. That's my positioning. I really like your comment. It's a quote from Robert Kennedy. And this is how it reads. It's from numberless diverse acts of courage and belief that human history is shaped. Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance. That is such a powerful statement. When you started the book off with that, I said, okay, right here, you've gripped my attention. How do you define courage?
How do I define courage? Courage is the willingness to act for the good, for the betterment of the situation, no matter what. And for me, it's interesting because in interviewing all of these people and researching the topic, none of them thought they were courageous. It was very ironic. Courage is just something that's inside you, and it can be awakened. You know, sometimes people would say, oh, I'm a total scaredy cat, and they were, you know, the bravest people that we were interviewing. So I sort of love that it's, you know, brave people don't walk around thinking, yes, I am a living example of courage. They just are. It's just in them. And usually their courage came out of wanting to help. And one of my favorite stories, I love that you pointed out that this, the book, the Courage, Our Courage Companion book has a lot of diversity. Romel from the Haiti, the example of, courage in the, after the Haiti earthquake, mm-hmm. and the fact that he, through the power of his mind, kept himself alive for days while they dug him out of the rubble. And he is most impressive to me because he was trapped there and couldn't do anything, and knew that he was never going to be the same. But he never stopped believing that he would live, and he never stopped hoping for all of his fellow Haitians. And by, you know, he was a world-class violinist, a brilliant musician, and played music in his mind to manage his mind through this devastating situation. And I find that so inspiring. And I've been thinking and keeping track of all the individual acts of courage after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, and I've been very impressed by what I've been seeing.
I agree. And I think that situations that are of that depth of life transformation on all levels, not just on the physical, but mental, spiritual, emotional, all of it, psychological, well, that's mental, but it's just incredible, and how people are willing to deal with it and to work with it. You have a story in here. It's about the founder of DOCS, and that's the abbreviation Doctors Offering Charitable Services, that absolutely, in my mind's view, was extremely moving. And Dr. Batra, they have been featured on the Oprah Winfrey Show because of their work, but they mm-hmm. talked about a 28-year-old female patient born with a real, very, very rare genetic disorder. She had surgeries to move tumors from her face all over her body. I mean, it's just amazing what people go through. And then you have the story that Dr. Batta said inspired him to found DOCS, and that was about Ian Grotto, a former Marine. Tell his story.
Oh, well, his story is so moving. You know, every day there's incredible acts of courage, you know, voluntary acts of courage happening, you know, to in the armed services to protect us and protect our freedom and help other people. And again, it sort of goes back to what I said a few minutes ago, Donna, when people aren't thinking I'm brave or I'm courageous, they just act for the betterment of all in the moment. And that's exactly what this Marine did. He realized that they were under attack and that there were shells going off and that his people could die. And he, you know, leapt onto a live shell to protect his troops. And that is just beautiful. It's an act of courage, and it's also an incredible act of kindness. And just to digress a little moment and go back to what I was saying before about the people people's response to the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan is that what I've been deducing is that it's the little acts of kindness that are making it better for everyone. So it's sort of making me think about a next book, and it might be that big subject of kindness.
Mm-hmm. His story is so phenomenal because of the fact that when he was wounded overseas, his face was literally torn off.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put back together and ended up having a face because of Dr. Botta. And Dr. Botta said, to have someone go through this and to see him come alive, that's what it is. And when he was asked about it, said things could be worse. That was what he said his drill sergeant, his Marine drill sergeant, used to say. Things can always be worse.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he had two choices, to do nothing or to do something. And
right.
He said, that's what I did. I had to do something. And so he's just an amazing individual and has a wonderful family now. But Dr. Batra is very skilled as a surgeon. But to
mm-hmm.
see this Marine's courage and to see these patients that he deals with, and he said, we've got to be out there doing something extra. Situations like this always have an impact on us. Now, we don't have to be a world-class surgeon. We don't have to be of certain genres of environment. We don't have to have that. But we can, right where we are, just do the best we can do. And I think of there's a teacher that you had in here, and he was in Chicago. Was it Chicago that he was? Where was this?
Yes,
teacher?
Chicago. Yes, that's where I hail from.
And his name is Hans, I believe. And he was so discouraged with the school system. Tell us about him.
Well, you know, Chicago is a beautiful city. It's where our president is from. It's where Oprah lives and makes positive changes in everybody's life every day. And it's one of the toughest cities, and the inner city is so rough that some children have to have police escorts to and from school just so that they'll make it to school and learn their ABCs. And this teacher was in the trenches and, you know, just beaten down, you know, I think, or seeing students and his fellow teachers being beaten down by the tough conditions, and then just decided to do something about it. Like, it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be that kids are afraid to come to school and being bullied and you know, being injured and attacked, you know, just so that they can mm-hmm. get to and from school. So he decided to set up an after school care watch, you know, so that people volunteered and fellow teachers and parents and coaches and older students like didn't just take it, just didn't sit around and take it anymore. So it was an act of courage among a whole community that he set in motion. And another Chicagoan that I'm very moved by is the grandmother, and I can't remember her last, I can't remember her name. Is it Grandma Lucille that lives in Chicago? And she also got out into the streets and would, you know, this is an elderly woman who doesn't have two pennies to rub together and isn't even very well and would walk with great difficulty, but because she saw what was happening to her grandson and what happened when he tried to get to school and back, she decided to, like, go out there and confront gang members and mm-hmm. say, like, now, what do you think you're doing? You know, you just stop it. This is nonsense. And actually by communicating, having the courage to communicate to, like, what, you know, scary people that might have guns and knives and probably did, you know, she faced them off and turned the tide. And I love those kind of stories where you're taking care of your people. In both cases, it was helping. It was motivated by helping and wanting to care for people. So it's courage and kindness again.
I agree. You have a very powerful story about Fannie Lou Hammer, who was
mm-hmm.
a former Mississippi sharecropper and she was born in 1917. Her story, I thought, was a powerful one because she just decided she was going to stand up for the rights that were hers, supposedly by law, but were not in reality in everyday living. Tell us a little bit about Fannie Lou.
Fannie Lou is one of my all-time heroes. She was a young African-American woman, and despite all the great actions of the civil rights movements, it was still, people were still being intimidated and not really allowed to vote, not allowed to get to the polls, not even allowed to register in, like, you know, deep parts of the South, in particular Mississippi. So she and a busload of college students, and, you know, we remember how we were in high school and college, so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and, like, you know, just wanting to get out there and be in the world and participate in things and make it a better world. And so she and her fellow students went down on a bus to register rural Mississippians, African Americans, so that they could get to vote, going up dirt roads and into hollers. And that didn't go over well with some of the other rural Mississippians. And in this case, it was cops and I think also like some sort of Ku Klux Klan type of people fought with the students, and Fannie Lou was like a college girl. I mean, can imagine this, like, you know, 19 years old or something, probably thin and wearing, you know, a skinny girl wearing like bobby socks and saddle shoes and a plaid skirt, being beaten by police and thugs, and was very injured very badly. She and some of her other students were jailed, and I think left in jail for more than one day. I mean, I think it was a weekend or a few days. She never fully recovered from that beating, and I think was crippled, and I actually believe that, like, some either lost vision, complete vision in one eye, or
she did.
Partial
mm-hmm.
vision.
Mm-hmm.
And but did that stop Fannie Lou Hamer? No, it did not. It only made her stronger, and she never stopped and became like a voice for African American women in our government, and hugely inspiring to, I'd say, all women and all African American people and anyone that values freedom, you know, our right to exercise, you know, the right to mm-hmm. vote, etc.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very powerful. In fact, when she died on March 15th, 1977.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Young, who was a former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, he was also the mayor of Atlanta at that time, Atlanta, Georgia. His statement was, "Women were the spine of our movement. It was women going door-to-door, speaking with their neighbors, meeting in voter registration classes together, organizing through their churches that gave the vital momentum and energy to the movement. Mrs. Hamer was special, but she was also representative. She shook the foundations of this nation." And it goes to show how one person can make a difference, how one person can inspire by their actions. And that is with all of the stories throughout your book. Each of the stories that you have in here represent an individual, maybe a singular situation, it can be multiple situations. But it is all meant to express the awareness that you can stand up, and you can let your voice be heard. And so many of us have been indoctrinated to be sort of like wallflowers, or to be silent and don't dare bring up XYZ subject. It's a mentality that affects people around the world, not just in the United States. And so when one voice is raised, then that gives courage to others to be able to go with that voice. And I really like that throughout the book, you have points of information, like how you have a checklist to jumpstart reinventing oneself. And that is something a lot of people are having to do right now. And Michelle Woodward was the example that you had here. And I really liked about how she presented the fact that we can make changes. She is a consultant, and she would have clients that would come to her and say, I just don't know what's next. Like so many people right now that have lost their jobs, or maybe their family has gone through some very difficult times for one thing or another. And I really liked what she said. She said, what's next? Question and jumpstart your reinvention. Ask yourself, what do you want more than anything right now? And usually people have an answer right away. 2, trust your gut. 3, get clear about what you want. 4, take stock of your strengths and make a list of what you're good at. And stop worrying about what other people think is 5. 6, acknowledge that change can be scary. 7, find mentors. 8, take action. 9, engage in self-care. And 10, stay connected with your supporters. These are wonderful, wonderful points that can inspire anyone. And when you were doing these stories and you found that each of these individuals had a little bit of something that they wanted to share, some more than others, how did they feel when you were being when they were being interviewed by you and your associate Nina? Did you find that they had a hard time talking about their experiences?
Well, you know, almost in each and every case, again, they had to, I had to remind them or almost even convince them that they were an example of courage or bravery, because they just didn't see themselves that way. And I was, you know, really moved by the humility. I mean, these are in many cases people that have overcome incredible odds or, you know, done something amazing, but they were very humble about it and just said, oh, you know, anyone would have done that in that circumstance. So once I convinced them that they were courageous and that people needed to hear their story and it needed to be shared to inspire, then they were absolutely, eager to share it. And in every case, almost, they also wanted to sort of give credit to other people. And Michelle Woodward, her husband Bob they're an astounding family, you know, what they went through. And he was pretty inspiring too. Actually, we cover him in our book, Living Life as a Thank You, and how he went to cover the Iraq war, for, I believe it was NBC, and was, injured very badly. It didn't seem like there was any chance for him to live or, have all his faculties, mental faculties. But, Bob Woodward is fine and back on the air, covering everything. And, incredibly inspiring example of reinvention right there. That whole family, what they had to do just to, I think just to accept and deal. I think sometimes we can be, like you said at the beginning of the show, Donna, you talked about you pass 50 people in the street maybe in a couple of days. You have no idea what's going on in their life. And in one second, our lives can change, just like it did for Bob Woodward when that shell hit him in the head and injured him so severely. And just think what happened with the senator, Gabby. Her name flew out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who was injured in Oklahoma. What is Gabby?
I don't recall her last name, but yes, her nickname is Gabby.
Right, right. And it seems like there's an example of handling an incredibly scary situation really well. From what I've been reading, I haven't read anything in the last week because I think the news is so taken up with what's going on with our possible government shutdown and then what's going on in Japan. But I remember reading up to last week that it seems like her attitude is what I would say is just like a basic courageous mindset. It seems like she is approaching her rehabilitation with very positive attitude, a lot of hope, a lot of gratitude to everyone that's helping her, and that in her, you know, she's even, they say that she's, her recovery is about 10 times faster than most people's would be. Number one, it was because I guess she was sort of a natural athlete, but then I think the overriding reason would be her, just her attitude is a courageous mindset.
I agree. I think, again, your stories are just wonderful. Now, you have one story in here that when I read it, I wrote in my book, appalling. And it's titled, The Most Vulnerable Among Us, Saving the Lives of Those Giving Life to Others. And you have a quote, if you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps life moving. You lose that courage to be, that quality that helps you go on in spite of it all. And so today, I still have a dream. And, of course, that was by Martin Luther King, Jr. The statistics that you quoted in this particular story were just mind-boggling. That 2 to 3 women die every day in the U.S. during or after childbirth, and that half of those deaths are entirely preventable. The World Health Organization says the U.S. ranks behind more than 40 other countries in maternal death rates. And the likelihood of a woman dying in childbirth in the United States is 5 times greater than in Greece, 4 times greater than in Germany, 3 times greater than in Spain. And I was just appalled when I read that. I went, holy Joseph, that is absolutely amazing. And the report has not yet been released by the California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative. At this time, I don't think it's been released. You can tell me otherwise. But this is all centered about one particular young woman whose name was Tatia Oden French. And she ended up dying because of a drug. And your story is about her mother, Maddie Oden, who had a feeling something was very wrong with her daughter. And both her daughter and baby died because of a drug that they were given, the daughter was given, and the drug had caused an amniotic fluid embolism in her daughter's lungs, and the hyperstimulation of the maternal uterus had killed the baby. They tried to make the delivery happen. And it's called Cytotec. I read this, and I just said, this is amazing. I mean, first, the story was just absolutely horrific. But mm-hmm. Maddie has turned this into something that's going into a positive direction, educating people about this.
Right. That is absolutely one of the things that we were inspired by in our research, is that terrible things happen where you lose a loved one or something happens that could easily have been prevented. And instead of just, you know, the mother could, the would-be grandmother could easily have just been devastated and like taken to her bed for months and years and never come out of the house with grief, especially the senselessness of the death. But instead, she took action. We talked just a little bit about, like, in some of the research and stats in the book about how there's, there's the fight and flight hormones that mm-hmm. that people just have in them. And I think that to some extent it just is in your nature, and you know, you're either a fighter or a flighter. But in the cases, you know, the people we profiled in the book and interviewed, they're fighters. And I don't mean like fight, like, you know, to get in a brawl or something like that. They're sort of like, you know, warriors for the positive. They want to help. Oh, the worst possible thing happened to my family. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. I'm going to do what I can to make sure no mother loses her daughter like this again in this nonsensical way. I'm going to fight to help. And in some cases, you know, it's sort of memorializes the loss as well. But I think it's a beautiful thing to have that instinct. I I haven't had a situation where I had to like make a split second decision. So I don't yet know whether I'm a fight or flight kind of person, but I hope that if I were confronted with something life-changing, instantaneous, that I could be 1/100th as brave as the people we covered in the Courage Companion.
Well, Maddie said, don't be afraid of not making a difference. When you want to change something, you've got nothing to lose. And I really agree with her. I know we're just about out of time, Mary Beth. Your book, The Courage Companion, How to Live Life with True Power, I think is written so well. The stories, they're short, but they're succinct in their meaning and in the power of the emotional positioning and physical action that people have taken, which I think it speaks for itself. What's your website where people can go check out more information about the book?
VivaEditions.com. So it's www, V as in victory, VivaEditions.com.
Wonderful. Mary Beth Sammons, you and Nina Lesowitz did a wonderful job. The Courage Companion, How to Live Life with True Power. If you feel like you don't have any, why don't you get this book and read about people that didn't think they had any either, but they proved they did. This is Donna Thiebaud. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Thiebaud. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Thiebaud to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I always enjoy sharing stories. As you know, if you're a regular listener to the show, I love sharing stories about people who have dared to walk a different path than what might be considered normal. I have yet to figure out what normal is, but that's often what people will say. Gee, that person is an odd duck. Or they just march to a different drummer. Those terms, I'm sure, are familiar to you. And sometimes we become afraid of being aware of marching to a different drummer. And I think we need to make it okay. One of the things that's featured in the book, and I thought I would share it with you because I really, really liked it, a woman by the name of Susan Roman, she had lung cancer. And I'm sure you're aware that when someone has lung cancer, the likelihood of their surviving is very remote. I had a very good friend that ended up with lung cancer, and she survived at the time longer than anybody else did. She really got into alternative treatments, but it was very limited at the time that she got the lung cancer. And she had at one time in her life been a very heavy smoker. And she was just such an inspiration to me because she persevered. She ended up becoming a private detective. Yes, that's what she was, until the disease really weakened her so badly that eventually she succumbed. But this lady, Susan Ruman, I loved her attitudes. She has been able to survive lung cancer. And, of course, there's more than one kind, but she has survived it so far. And she had five tips that she wanted to share with people. She said, number one, don't waste any more time putting off going after your dreams because you're facing a roadblock. Even in the face of adversity, you need to keep moving towards what you want in your life. And she said, I realized it's just not having cancer, in her case. It's an experience that threatens your life and all the dreams you had for it. And one thing she quickly discovered is that time is of the essence. You have to go after your dreams now. Don't wait until everything's perfect. It doesn't work. Two, ask yourself who you can help. Once you've gone through what she's gone through, cancer or something very challenging, you can no longer naively think you're isolated from life's ups and downs and that they only happen to other people. So look around, be aware, because there might be people that need your understanding, your compassion, your knowledge, and explore what you can do to make a positive difference in their lives. And maybe it's just saying hello and saying, I care. It could be just something very, very simple. Number three for her was to be grateful. When you go through a life-challenging situation, as she did, she said you quickly learn you should wake up each day thrilled with how wonderful it is to have a day to live and embrace and enjoy all the things in your life you didn't see before the adversity set in. And number four, she said, be the change that you want to see in the world. No excuses. Do what matters to you. And don't be concerned about what anyone else thinks. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? We all want to have approval. We all want to know that everything's going to be acceptable by other people. She said, don't worry about that. If you believe in something, go for it. Number five, she said, always ask for guidance. Don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help if you really want to make a difference in the world. That was one of the biggest lessons for me. And sometimes I even have to remind myself of that now. You know, when you're taught, gee, you've got to stand on your own two feet. You've got to be independent. Don't ever ask anybody else for help. It's a hard way to go when you find that you cannot do it all yourself. And you have to ask for help. When you ask for help, do you know what? It makes a difference when someone else says, I'll be happy to help you. I learned a very valuable lesson from the woman who was my mentor many, many years ago. She wanted to do something for me one day, and I said, no, don't do that. No, you don't need to do that. She turned around and looked at me, and she asked me a question. How do you feel when you're able to do something for somebody, or somebody asks you for help and you're able to do something? And I, of course, I responded. I said, well, I just love doing it. It's something that makes me feel good. She said, then let me give my gift to you. I want to do this for you. Let me give you my gift. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. So we need to remember that. People love to give. Believe it or not, they do. If you need help, ask for it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. The worst thing I could say is, sorry, I can't help you at all. You say, thank you very much. But if you know of anybody who can, keep me in the loop. It makes a difference because we don't walk through life all by ourselves. We do need help from other people. We can't do everything, contrary to the multitasking superhuman beings that supposedly exist on this planet. I'm sorry. It's okay to ask for help. So I think that those tips are really very valuable tips. And I think it's something that we need to keep in mind. It's just as important to learn how to receive as it is to know how to give. Very, very important. And it was a lesson, like I said, that was given to me as a gift many, many years ago. So I shared with you. Donna Sebo here. Hey, telephone lines are now open. 888 815-975-9756. For those of you in New York, I'm going to be there next week. In fact, a couple of broadcasts are going to be done from the Big Apple. And then I'm going to be in Alaska during the month of May. So for those of you that are listening in from the far north, I hope you will just be aware of that. Go in and check my website, check my newsletter, and for the month of April, and you will find my schedule right there. Tomorrow, we're going to be having Ornelia Groves. We're going to be talking about Moneylicious. Yeah. All that green stuff that we so very much appreciate value, that it gives us freedom when we have it abundantly. And Ornelia is going to be sharing with us what she feels we can do, even in our difficult moments right now. Seems like the politicians don't do a very good job of budgeting, but most American families seem to. So maybe they could take some lessons from us. So we'll find out from Ornelia what we could do, even with these challenging times that are right under our nose. Also, what I wanted to do was let you know I've got some information about how we can think like a manager. Now, that may sound rather cold, but that's okay. Business, life is business in its own way. And when we can understand how we can do things better, it really can assist us. In fact, if you would like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a call, because lines are open at 888-815-9756. So we're going to be talking about some different things, and I believe I've got a recipe here that you might enjoy. So we'll just share a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're going to take a break for a moment, and then we'll be back with some more good things right here on the Donna Sebo Show. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Let me share with you just a few thoughts here about how we can do a little bit better job. If you've got a special project, I don't know how many of you listening have your own home businesses, but you know, it's so nice when you do have a home business, but oh boy, can it be a bear getting things done, especially if you have a family or you've got pets, I mean, or the phone is always ringing. It's just unbelievable. There's a big difference, because when you have a home business, it's comfortable. You can do business in your PJs and your bunny slippers if you want. However, sometimes we don't get things done. And I know that can happen so very, very easily. Now, there's a lady by the name of Michelle LaBrose. She has a project management training company, and she just really loves doing workshops with people, because she said, we have to understand a project is a project is a project. And you've got to learn how to develop the skill. She said, it's not unlike balancing your checkbook. So she said, you need to be aware that if you're going to take on a project, if you've got a home business of your own, or you're trying to do something on your own, then she had some wonderful, wonderful suggestions. She said, you need to set, first of all, specific goals. She said, you've got to be able to look at what your objective is, and then you need to know where the starting point is, where the middle point is, and where the end is. And you have to have typically a defined time frame. If you don't have a defined time frame, then there's not an urgency. And she said, if you're the type of person where setting a specific goal can be a challenge, well, you can get some help. So that is something that you have to look at. But also, many times, projects, whatever you might be involved with, you have three issues you usually deal with: cost, time, and the scope of the project. So it's pinpointing things down and keeping your focus. What do you really care about? Your timeline, staying on your budget. What is it that's most important to you to do? And then, she said, breaking it all down into small steps so you can get it done. And once you have a master task list, she said, then you make a plan and you follow through with it. Well, life isn't perfect. And I can tell you, I'm very good at making lists. My husband will tell you I have made a gazillion lists. I can do very well in certain aspects, but wow, is it easy to get sidetracked? Especially if you have a critical situation that happens with the family, somebody gets ill. I mean, there isn't a straight line in life. It just doesn't work that way. You're going to, you might get sick, or maybe your car has a flat, or something happens, and all of a sudden, all of your perfect planning goes haywire. So what you want to do is understand that consistency and follow-through is very important. And a good suggestion is to maybe have someone help motivate you. If you're one of these people that has a tendency to procrastinate, get yourself a team player that's going to keep you on the edge. That can make a big difference. Have you ever noticed if you have to get the house clean and you haven't done very much for a while, and then all of a sudden the Chamber of Commerce president is going to be coming over and having dinner at your house because he wants to meet your husband? It's amazing what we can get done when things like that happen. So it's a matter, and of course, closets get filled very quickly with anything that may be loose laying around. But the thing is, we often, when we are put up against a timeline, we can perform. It's amazing what we're able to do. So just be aware that life, if you are in a position where you can organize things and you can do what needs to be done, and you learn those skills, and you learn how to organize, look at budget, look at various things, and maybe get one of your buddies to sort of push some pressure on you, you'll be surprised at how much you can get done. And your projects will not go by the wayside. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Just wanted to share a few of those little tips with you. And I think I'm going to buy, well, maybe won't. I found this very common style recipe for a beefy cheese lasagna. And I don't know about you, but I get so busy sometimes that the last thing I really want to even think about is putting something together for a meal. It's like, okay, I'll have a piece of toast and an egg, and that's it. I don't want to be bothered with cooking anything. Well, we all have moments like that, but sometimes we'd really like to have something that's tasty, that's going to really satisfy our taste buds. And we can take a basic recipe, a quiche or something like this, that we can really work wonders with. And this lasagna recipe that I've got here is so simple. It's so easy. And if you're a vegetarian, you can do all kinds of things with it. So I just thought I would share it with you today because it's so simple. Let me give it to you. If you've got a pad of paper and a pen, this is how it is. You need 12 lasagna noodles. You need 15-ounce containers of part skim ricotta cheese. You're going to need about 1.5 cups of shredded cheese blend, Italian, whatever you would like. If you like a spicier lasagna, use the Mexican blend. Then you can use dried basil, about 1/2 teaspoon of that, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 8 ounces of ground beef, one small onion, you chop that up, it's about a half a cup, and one jar, 24-ounce jar of marinara sauce. Now, I like to fool around with spices. I don't know about you. I would want to add a little bit of fennel to this and maybe a little bit of oregano. And your marinara sauce, I don't care what you buy. It never has very much in the way of seasonings. But this is something you can fool around with. This is a recipe you can doctor. If you've got kids, maybe you have some people that are vegetarians, put extra cheese in this. Put some vegetables in it. You could put asparagus in this. You could do all kinds of things with it. It's really wonderful. Now, this is how simple the recipe is. You preheat your oven to 375 degrees. You cook your noodles according to the directions on the package. And they've even got pre-cooked noodles. I mean, you don't have to do anything with a silly thing. Just put them in the pan. But your ricotta, you take your ricotta, a half a cup of the shredded cheese, whatever you want to use. You could use cheddar. You could use the Italian cheeses. You can use the spicy, whatever you like. Add your basil, your salt, your pepper. If you wanted to add any additional seasonings, you add your seasonings in. Mix that all up. You put that to the side. Then you're going to want to cook your beef. I prefer shredded beef to ground beef. That's my preference. Or you could use chicken. If you wanted to, use a little bit of ham. Whatever is your favorite, or as I said, you could use a vegetable. But you want to cook your beef. And you just want to, if you're going to use ground beef, you want it to simmer so that you have the fats separating out of it. And I just say strain it. If the fat bothers you, then just strain the meat. You're going to use a 13-by-9-inch baking pan. You spray that with cooking spray so it's easier to clean up. Spread about a half a cup of your marinara sauce over the bottom of the dish. Put 3 noodles on top. Take a heaping cup of your reserved cheese mixture and a half a cup of the sauce. And you repeat the layers like this. And then you want to put the remaining noodles on the top, the remaining sauce mixture, and I like to put some extra cheese, but hold off on that. What you want to do is put a sheet of foil and spray the sheet of foil with cooking spray and put it over the top of the lasagna, coated side, the sprayed side down. Bake the lasagna 30 minutes or until it starts to bubble, and then you uncover. That's when you put on your extra cheese, and you bake it until the cheese melts and the lasagna is hot, another 10 or 15 minutes. And if it's not brown the way you'd like, turn on your broiler, and it'll just brown that cheese just beautifully. But this is such a basic recipe. It is so easy to fix. It's a great way to use up leftovers. And again, don't be afraid to experiment with all of these different cheeses and, you know, and oh, let me give you a tip somebody gave me. Whenever you're using manicotti, if you're going to stuff your manicotti shells, or if you're going to fix the lasagna, always add an egg to your ricotta. What it does, it gives a binding factor that gives a wonderful consistency to the ricotta. Just throw in an egg, beat it up, and it's going to be wonderful. That is a tip from a Lebanese friend that I've always utilized whenever I do something like that. But anyway, I wanted to share that dish with you. Then I also wanted to let you know about an experience that some people had, and it's called periwinkles and pence. Now, in 1881, a thunderstorm, a real bad one, hit Worcester, England. Hailstones were knocking leaves from trees and peas from the vines in people's gardens, but then the hailstones started getting worse. Apples and plums were stripped from their branches. All the garden crops were just beaten down by these ice balls. Yes. Do you know that even after this unusual hailstorm hit, the ice balls stayed solid for over 4 hours? Incredible. And then they had heavy rains. The rains were so intense, 4 feet of water accumulated in a railway underpass. Chimneys had been struck down with a storm. A woman was driving a donkey cart. This was before she was able to have a car. And the donkey was killed by the lightning. Tree struck a short tree in a man's garden, ignored all the tall ones. In a neighbor's yard, lightning hit a tree and traveled down its trunk in a spiral. And one man, his name was John Greenall, watched from a garden shed where he had run to get protection from this very unusual storm, saw amounts of periwinkles fall with the rain, and they were bouncing on the ground or they were going into the ground. Do you know that the people in that community had these shellfish? Periwinkles are little shellfish. They've got cute little shells. They gather them all through the day after the storm and into the night. And after the third day, they were still being found. An incredible, incredible thing. Unusual circumstances, unusual conditions. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. We'll be back with you tomorrow talking about that wonderful stuff called money, 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 money. Hope you can join me. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous evening. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.